It's back to school, day four already. I can't believe it. At Fort Recovery, I'm Kevin Sandler with a thank you to Cobb Pharmacy and Hall Brothers, also K&L Tractor and Reisner Energy. Now, today we've moved to the elementary middle school, and with us we have elementary principal Laura Brandt, and it's so nice to see you again.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it has been a couple years since we caught up with you, and so I thought we would remind people where you came from originally and how you made your way to Fort Recovery to be an elementary principal.
Okay, well, this is my 25th year in education, actually. Started out in Columbus Public and then quickly made my way back to this area, which is home for me, and have been working in Salina in various roles for several years. And 3 years ago, I decided to make a big jump, and we came over here to Fort Recovery to become the elementary principal.
All right. What was it, about that position that enticed you, that said you wanted to, be a principal for the elementary agers?
Well, I've always taught in elementary, and reading is, literacy is a huge passion for me. And so I really just, my role just kind of expanded in Salina, where I taught second grade, and then I taught kids who were struggling with reading, and then I taught teachers to teach kids who were struggling with reading. And it just seemed like a natural progression, and I just felt like I could influence more kids for the good, like to help them with their reading education. Because I just feel like reading is the most important thing that we can do for our kids. If they are literate and they can read, then they have all the choices in the world.
Yeah, it unlocks everything,
it
doesn't
it? It really, really does. So it just felt like this was the way I wanted my career to go, to influence more teachers, more students, and just to get that that literacy teaching out there to those kids.
Yeah, the building blocks, if you will, yes. Right? The ABCs, yes. and all of that. And, for you also, let's remind people which grades are actually part of elementary, because this is an elementary middle school complex.
Sure. We have a lot of kids here. The building houses pre-K through 8. So my students are the pre-K students. You're actually going to talk to our pre-K director here after. I think she's probably last on your list today.
Yes.
And so she'll tell you a little bit more about pre-K, but they're technically part of our building too. And then I go all the way up through fifth grade.
All right. And so let's talk about, as principal, how you're able to have interaction with students. A lot of them know you as the person they might see in the hall.
Right.
Other times,
the principal's watching.
Yeah, maybe they got caught passing notes in class or something. But all along, they know who you are, right?
They do. They see me a lot on recess duty, at lunchroom duty. But I'm also in the classrooms as much as I can. My favorite thing to do is to walk in and just say to a kid, what are you working on? What you learning today? And so a lot of times they're kind of taken aback still, even after, so many years of doing this, but, then they're all of a sudden on task. But a lot of times, actually, and I'm going to put a little plug in too, they often see me subbing. So we are in a great need for substitute teachers in this area. So if any of the listeners out there are thinking about doing this, it is, it's kind of a nice gig. You can kind of, take the calls that you want, and the ones, if you're busy that day, you don't take a call, but it's really fun. So this week alone, I've been subbing in kindergarten, and I've substituted in a couple of reading classes. And can I just tell you, it's been the most fun I've had this week is doing that.
So, in baseball, you'd be known as the utility player. Right?
I think you're right.
We put you in any position and you're ready to go. That does sound like a lot of fun. And I also understand that they've changed some of the subbing requirements, that it might be easier for people to do that now.
It sure is. They really just need to check with the Mercer County ESC to get started. But really, if you have, there's a few requirements, but if you have a high school diploma, it is a possibility to get in sub. And then we don't just have teaching sub positions available. We have classified things too. So anybody interested in, we always can use extra cooks, people who are serving, extra recess aides, those kinds of things as well.
Yeah, it takes a community to make it go, doesn't
it? Yes, it sure does.
A lot of people working together. What's also neat too is, I bet for the students, for the teachers, they'll have even more respect for you, because they know, hey, you can do this. You are very much in tune of being a teacher and working with the students, right?
I hope so. I hope that's what that shows. I think the kids are always excited to, one of them asked me yesterday, does that mean this room is the principal's office now? We're going to spend the whole day in the principal's office.
Yes.
So it's kind of a novelty for them too, but it's also fun for me to get in deeper to what they're learning as well. And then, you know, when I see them in the hall later, I can talk about, you know, we just worked on in kindergarten adding zero. So we can talk about that outside. So.
And on a very serious note, students, especially when they're really good students, they're good kids, they should not be afraid of the principal,
they
you know,
should
and,
not at
and
all.
That, and that's what you strive. You really, you know,
that's
you want to be that,
yep.
that person for them, right?
It really is. I really want them to be able to come to me with anything that they want to talk about. I want them to come to my office for good things as well. Cause I can, you know, I love to spread the news that a kid has done something well, or, this is a leader in our school. So, yes, I really don't want them to fear me at all. It's just one of those stigmas I've got as I walk
yes.
in that, I've been working to break, honestly.
And also in working with teachers, I'm sure, for example, you have everything from, you know, veterans that, you know, they're quite experienced,
right.
Did you have any new teachers this year?
We don't have any brand new education teachers, but
okay.
we did just have three new hires from other districts, so who are pretty new in the field. So yeah, you're right. We have people who have taught for, you know, as long as I have, 25, you know, and above years, and then we have several who are in their first, second, third year. It's really a fun part of my job to see how we learn from each other, because this is a learning profession. It doesn't matter how many years of experience you have, you can still learn. So it's fun to see the younger ones learning from the older ones and vice versa, because the younger ones really do bring in a lot of new, fresh ideas, but also technology and things that, you know, hasn't always been around in education. So
that's right. And the important thing too is obviously staying with the times, because you want to keep those kids interested, right? And I would
That's
imagine
right.
if you brought out just textbooks and pen and paper and
right.
chalkboard or whatever, they'd probably be like, what is this, right?
Well, it might be
yeah.
a novelty for them at this
yes.
point. But but yes, it's important to stay on top of that kind of stuff. And it's also, you know, with younger kids, the younger they are, the shorter their attention span. So the more tricks you have in your, you know, in your toolbox to kind of learn things in different ways, it's just good for them.
That's always the thing. I'm sure it's so much fun to get to know the little ones and be their kindergarten mm-hmm. teachers. And yet, on the other hand, I don't know how you do it. It's just a room full of very wound up, you know, maybe 6-year-olds with
Can
not
be.
Much of an attention span,
Can
right?
Be. Yes. Can be. What's really cool in my position, though, is that I get to be with them for at least 5 years. So it's really cool to see the kids. So I've been here for 3 years now. So my current kindergartners are now in second grade, and they're so much older and more mature. And it's just awesome to see, get to see a bigger picture.
All right. Some other things you have, you know, coming up too. I know for one thing, like EMS involvement, right?
Yes. So I've got several things coming up. Well, a couple things that we just are finishing up as well. So our student council, and I know you're going to have them on here in a little bit, so I'll let them talk a little more about this. But our student council did a fundraiser. This just wrapped it up for Sense for Cincy is what they're calling it. We had a student who recently had to spend quite a bit of time in Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And so the student council decided to get together and see what we could do for the patients that are basically stuck in Cincinnati, especially as the holidays are coming. So we called everybody to bring out their pennies. We just took, I think, 6 5-gallon buckets of change to the bank not too long ago, and these kids raised almost $5,000. So at their next student council meeting, they're going to go on Amazon and do a shopping list, and we're going to send a bunch of stuff to Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
How
so,
nice. And
yes.
not only is it nice for them to do, maybe they'll take a moment and realize, hey, we're home
right.
for the holidays. Not everybody is fortunate enough for
right.
that, right?
And actually, our word of the month, we do a word of the month here for characters. We call it Character Strong, and it's gratitude this month. So we have been talking a lot about gratitude, which our definition is choosing to appreciate the people and the things in our life. So this has been a perfect way for them to experience that. Gives our kids a little bit of hands-on leadership experience as well. You know, I know they're young. It's our 3rd through 5th graders who do this, but these are the kind of experiences I feel like they'll take into their lives as they grow.
Yeah, and kind of like, again, building blocks, you know, that
right.
you're starting to help them form that character that will serve them as they get older.
Right, right. Yes, and so actually, I talked just a little bit about that character word of the month. We're getting ready to celebrate that this Friday. So we will have a big assembly in the gym where we will recognize kids who showed great gratitude. We'll celebrate one student of the month. McDonald's sponsors a student of the month, and so we'll celebrate that student. And then we will move on to the next month, which is December, which is empathy. So we will be talking about empathy for the month of December, which is understanding and connecting to other people's feelings. So Our teachers will be doing lessons in the classroom. Our students will be looking for ways to show empathy in their lives. We're hoping beyond just our school, but obviously recognizing that in our school. And it's something that we've started here in the last couple of years that I feel like has really, really been great for our students and our staff.
Yeah, if there's one thing this world could use, it's a little more empathy.
I agree.
And I agree. Again, you start teaching that young. Speaking of that also, the DARE graduation, mm-hmm. For example, how important of a program, the DARE is,
Right.
Obviously research has shown it's not enough to tell them, all right, now say no. You really got to build that up.
We do. That's actually coming up and we're having that on Monday. So we're looking forward to celebrating. The kids have worked hard with Officer Geis, who's our DARE officer here in Mercer County, and they've worked hard with him to do all kinds of activities. And I know I haven't heard yet, but they always do an essay contest, so I haven't heard these essays yet. So I'm excited to see what the kids have written about what they've learned from Officer Geis, saying no to drugs, but also making healthy choices. It's beyond just the drugs for these kids. It's just about making good choices in their lives. So
say no to the junk food also, right? Right? I mean, you have it sometimes, but not all the time.
Right. So yes, that's happening soon. And then after that, we're going to be kind of looking towards the holidays. So we have, our second graders have been working really hard with Mrs. Evers West Curtis on a musical. So they'll present that musical. I'm probably say it wrong, but I think it's something about a partridge in a pear tree. So that'll be coming up here in December, probably the second week or so. And it's always a great time to see our kids working together and to present something like that.
Yeah, awesome. That was always fun to make little crafts and turkeys in school, and also knowing that you get a shorter week and all that stuff. It was a fun time of year, the holidays were,
It is, yes. And actually, this community does such a great job of incorporating our students. So we have a Santa shop coming up here as soon as we get back from Thanksgiving break, where the students can, it's sponsored by our PTO, where they can shop for their parents or, can have a little private place so they can give a surprise to their parents. The FFA is actually hosting a gingerbread night for us. So that's always a really fun night. They have the bare bones of gingerbread houses ready for us.
Okay.
And then the kids and their families come and they decorate them. And it smells great in there. And it's always a great time.
I don't know if I could do that without eating the ingredients or eating the foundation of the house.
I think a little bit of eating does happen.
I would imagine so. I mean, I always like the looks of them. Then I think, okay, are you done looking at it? Let's eat. So a lot of fun there.
It is a lot of fun. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. And then our older kids also will be working on a spelling bee. So that's coming up right before the Christmas break. So lots of stuff to look forward to.
It sounds like it. And I'm sure also, as we know, I mean, a school year goes by so quickly, but I'm sure there are parts of it you enjoy so much. Is there a favorite time of year? I would think holidays, working in a school, would be the most fun time of the year.
It's definitely fun, but I don't know if that's my favorite time of the year. I actually really like, and I don't know if anybody else would agree with me, but I actually really like October. Like, we finally have just gotten into the groove of thing, and we know how to do school. And so it just feels like things start to groove, and you can actually usually see learning happen by then. The week we get back from Christmas break will be something we call winter benchmarking time. And I know this is going to sound so nerdy, but this is my favorite time because it's the time where we did a bunch of screening tests at the beginning of the year, and now we do them again. And this is where we really, really get to see the growth. So it's kind of like validation. We look at it and what we were doing really did work. Our students really are learning. And so I have to say that's probably my favorite time. We're in the groove and we're learning.
I would imagine also opening day, is also exciting
too.
Like that first day, here comes these new kindergartners.
Right, especially our kindergartners who, some of them have never been to school before. And so it's just a new experience for them. And it's just great to see.
And then of course the first graders that say, we're not kindergartners anymore,
Right. And our top dogs, our fifth graders, and I think you're talking to our fifth grade teachers here in a little bit, but they seem to grow so much between fourth and fifth grade. So it's kind of cool. See them getting ready for middle school.
I thought fifth grade was really cool. And then it was time to go on into middle school and then you start all over again.
You do. Hopefully they don't quite get that experience here. It is a little bit like that, I'm sure. But being in the same building has been really cool. The middle school principal and I try really hard to work together and to do things together, to use our eighth grade students to work with our kindergarten sometimes. And,
that sounds like fun to mentor a little one, right?
It is. Yep. Yep, the little kids just think they're the coolest things ever. So it's really neat.
And you also learn too, you want to set a good example.
Right.
Too, right?
Correct. Yes. And I have to say that, like, props to the middle school. Those kids are good examples. They are, we just have great kids in this community. So it's awesome to see them work with the little ones.
And right. And I'll tell you, Laura, always good to see you and appreciate you coming. And we're going to also be talking with the district's literacy specialist. And as you said, fifth grade teachers, book club advisors, elementary student council. We're going to talk preschool. Yep. And, you know, and that's just one day because we will be back tomorrow. We're going to mention, I mean, Holly will be here, the middle school principal, eighth graders. We've got football coach, Wes Wenning. We're going to talk a little EMS with Mandy Gerlach. So that'll be a lot of fun. And that will be, you know, what we have coming up. Again, I want to thank Count Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, and Reisner Energy. We'll be back for Back to School on 96.7 The Wave. We continue Back to School here in Fort Recovery with a thank you to Fort Recovery Lumber, Mercer County Insurance, along with Nature's Green, Cooper Farm, and Reisner Energy. We have Abby Scheid here, who is a literacy specialist at Fort Recovery. Abby, hi, nice to see you.
Hi, nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
So share with us where you came from originally and some of what you did before you became the literacy specialist.
So I've been here at Fort Recovery for, this is my 14th year. I started as a third grade teacher, and reading was always my passion, even when I was a student myself. And so then as a teacher, that was just where I wanted to put my focus as far as my additional training and additional education. So then I became a literacy specialist last school year. So this is my second full year in the position. And I've always been here at the Fort.
All right. And what does a literacy specialist do? I mean, do you get them of all ages or is there a focus?
Yeah. So I actually have kind of three roles in the district. Primarily, I work with students. Mainly in grades 1 through 6, working with kids who maybe just have a little bit of a reading difficulty, either with phonics or comprehension. I heard our principal mention that we do screenings on the kids several times throughout the year. So any kids who are flagged as someone who might need some additional support, those are the kids that I work with. So that's my main job throughout the day. But I also work with teachers to provide support for teachers, for the students who maybe can't see me, but need some additional support within the classroom. I help provide the interventions for the teachers or just any resources that they need. And then I also work with the administration to make sure that we are compliant with all of the laws from the state. There's a lot of legislation with reading and literacy. So I work with them to make sure that we are following the law and doing what we're supposed to be doing for kids.
All right. Now, it's if somebody does get flagged and maybe needs a little support, not necessarily a bad thing, right? Shouldn't be a stigma.
Not at all.
Just how it goes, right?
Yes, that's just how it goes. And just because they need the support, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year, doesn't mean they need it all year long. My groups are very flexible. And because we're constantly monitoring kids, a student might show enough growth and maybe they don't need to see me anymore. And it can work the other way as well. There could be a student who started off the year strong, but then is maybe struggling with something in the middle of the year that might eventually come and see me. So my groups are very flexible. It's not bad to come and, you know, see me and get a little bit of extra reading support.
That's right. You're in a very real sense, you're like a coach, right?
Yes.
We think about like the star pitchers having some problems. That's why they have a pitching coach.
Yes.
Right? Take them aside and work on the fundamentals.
Yes.
Right?
And I always tell the kids, like, just reading is just like anything else, because so many of them do play sports or, you know, have other hobbies, and you practice your hobbies, you practice your sports. It's the same with reading. You have to practice to get better. And so that's what I try to remind them of.
Yeah. And sounds like, again, there's been quite a bit of success with that, right?
Yeah, we've had a lot of success with it the last year. A lot of positive feedback from the teachers and the parents who have seen the growth, because sometimes, you know, when you're in a classroom of 20 kids, it's easy for you to sometimes get lost in the shuffle. But when I have kids who are only 4 to 6 kids in a group, I can really hone in on what they need. And you can really make a big impact in a small amount of time.
I would imagine that some of the things that people might remember when they learned to read was sound out the word was a good one.
Yes.
You know, the sometimes it was kind of like a compound thing. along with remembering some basic rules of how things are pronounced. But having said that, you know, we remember reading. Our language is not exactly the easiest sometimes either.
No, it is not. And that was something that was so amazing to me when I was being trained is the way that we learned to read when we were kids is quite a bit different from how kids learn to read now. And that's because of something called the science of reading, that you literally have to train your brain to read. And all kids have the ability to have their brain trained to read. But it's up to us as teachers to give them the proper instruction to make sure that they can do that.
You know, we everybody, you know, you hope, right, reads all the time, whether they see a sign or something on the wall or, you know, whatever. But you don't even think about it. You look at it and how fast we process it, right?
Yes, yes. And so that's kind of leading into another part of it, too, that we read words. Yes, you want the kids to be able to read them, but they also have to be able to make meaning out of it. And so once we get them to the to the point that they're reading successfully, then we really focus on that meaning. And that's what I do a lot with some of the older kids where they maybe can read a whole page, but then they can't tell me what they've just read.
Yes. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah, you can power read, you know, through a short book and then what was this about? Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
But you did read it. You just didn't, you know, keep it.
Yeah. So a lot of those older kids, when they are now reading to learn, we work on some of those comprehension strategies to help them be successful in the classroom.
Excellent. Does technology play much of a role in what you do now?
It does a little bit. You know, there's a lot of the programs that we use, one in particular called UFly, that has a lot of interactive and visual supports to it. But to be honest, a lot of what I do is very much hands-on. We use sound circles, we use syllable squares, the kids use letter tiles. So yes, there's technology in it, but it's a lot of just putting their hands on and, you know, using paper to pencil.
There you go. No Kindle yet, right?
No, not yet.
But someday, right?
Yes. Yeah. The older kids definitely do use those.
And I'm sure also some of the things you might be able to identify, you hope, and I know this happens, but you hope a kid doesn't have to, you know, go through dyslexia, but it happens, right?
It does. And that is one of the most common learning disabilities. But there is so much out there that teachers and instructors can do to help students who have dyslexia. There is a way that, you know, you can help them still be a successful reader. Yes, there might be barriers and struggles, but you can still help a person with dyslexia be able to learn how to read.
Yep, very important. And and probably explain to them that, hey, this isn't your fault. Don't feel bad.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, you think, what's wrong? Why can't I figure this out? Everybody else does, right?
Yep, and that's part of our job as teachers, though, to recognize those signs so that the student doesn't feel like it's their fault. There actually is something in their brain that is causing this. And so it's up to us to be able to help them kind of overcome that and still be successful.
And they can do it, right?
And they can do it, yes.
Now, obviously, reading is your passion. Are you a reader yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I always am either on my Kindle in the evenings or I do like to still go to the library and read books myself. It's always been something that I've loved to do. And so I try to pass that love on to my students.
Do you, is there a certain subject that's your favorite? I could see you reading biographies, for example.
I have, yes. I also, you know, enjoy a good, mystery or suspenseful book,
yes,
too.
Indeed.
But I also do a lot of reading to learn, especially in the summer, a lot of professional development.
Sure.
I feel like there's so much out there as teachers that as soon as we get comfortable, that's when it starts to become a little dangerous. So I want to try to learn new things and keep pushing myself to stay up to date with the latest trends and things that are coming out.
Yep. As an old teacher used to say to me, better your best.
Yes.
You know, you did good today, but that was yesterday.
Yes.
Now, right?
And I tell my students we're always learning, even as adults. So I can't just tell them that unless I model it myself.
You know, for all those years or the time you were a third grade teacher, that also was, I think, a grade where, you know, you start significantly using some of those early reading skills, right?
Yes. By then, I mean, there's definitely still phonics and, you know, learning how to read at that age. I mean, even some of the upper elementary kids into middle school are still learning how to read. There's a lot with prefixes and suffixes and morphology, just the parts of words that they are still learning. But yeah, as a third grade teacher, it was more of a transition of, okay, now you can read. So now we have to make meaning out of what we're reading.
Yes. What age are they encouraged to start doing some writing?
At all ages. I mean, even our youngest kindergarten students are learning how to print their letters, you know, learning their sight words. So writing and reading go hand in hand. Yes, absolutely.
Because at some point, I know they're probably asked to like write a story or something, right?
Yes. And like I said, because they go hand in hand, there's a lot of things you can take from what you read and then put that into your writing, you know, using descriptive language or sensory language. If you can see it when you read, then hopefully you'll be able to kind of produce that when you write as well.
Excellent. And so many other ways you can, you know, increase your vocabulary, even whether you're looking for synonyms or something where you're not using the same ones over and over, right?
Yes. And vocabulary is a huge part of comprehension. And that's what I often tell teachers too, is that we are all teachers of reading. So whether you're teaching science or math or social studies, if you're teaching vocabulary to kids, you are essentially teaching them a part of reading.
That's very true. I mean, when if you teach them, like you're in science and you say today's topic is paleontology. Well, you just taught them a new word.
Yes, you did. Yep. And that's another part of learning the language and all the different word parts. You know, if you can teach them what ology is, then that can unlock a lot of new words for them.
There you have it. So a lot of fun there. And let's not forget about our friends, the math teachers either. They get some words in there.
Yeah. Even, I mean, there's so many Greek and Latin roots that are in our language that apply to all content areas. So even your math teachers have some reading connections.
That they do. So again, sounds like for you, simply a job that is a lot of work to be sure, but it seems like there's a lot of personal satisfaction in what you do.
Absolutely. Yes. I love what I do every day. We have great staff and students here, and I'm just very thankful to be a part of this school.
Cool. Sometimes though, when you've worked with a student and now they're ready to kind of move on, do they say, oh, but I like coming here to see you?
Sometimes they do, but that's one of the blessings of a small school is we see the kids all the time. So even if they maybe don't come to my room anymore, I see them in the hallways or, you know, in the lunchroom. So you always keep that connection with kids.
That's for sure. And I think, you know, that they'll always remember, you know, that they had that brief moment where they kind of struggled with some things, but you helped them out.
Yes. And they can feel proud of their success too.
That's for sure. All right, Abby, thank you so much for joining us. We'll switch gears. We're going to come back and talk with some fifth grade teachers. But again, I want to thank Kalp Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, and Reasoner Energy as we shall return on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome once again. We are at Fort Recovery. Now, we're at the elementary school today in their conference room, and so we're going to go back to fifth grade is what we're going to do. We have Casey Froning and Brianna Mayday are here as fifth grade teachers. So, ladies, thanks for coming. Nice to see you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to begin. Casey, we'll talk with you first. Share with us a bit about your background. You are a Fort Recovery person, right, from the beginning?
I am. I graduated from Fort Recovery a little over about 10 years ago. I went to college. I taught in Cincinnati. I taught at St. Henry, and then I'm back here at Fort Recovery. I'm teaching fifth grade math this year, which is the lowest I ever taught, but they're doing great.
Outstanding. So it's interesting. Where'd you go to college, by the way?
I went to college at UC in Cincinnati.
Okay. I was going to say, I wondered how you got down there, and I'm sure that was a fun experience, but ultimately it sounds like your goal was to come home.
I honestly don't know if I had an end goal on where I was going to end up, but my goal was teaching, and teaching math was my passion.
All right. So in fifth grade math, let's hear a little bit more about that. Like at that level, like what is a fifth grade math student learning these days?
Wow, they're doing all the things. They're learning about adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. We're throwing decimals in there, which is new. We're throwing fractions in there, which is new. So it really just gets them to understand number sense. And they're doing some great things right now. We're currently working on, I'm calling it a Frankenstein project. But what they do is they have a group, they measure the height of each person in the group, they measure all the dimensions, they find the average of the group, they put it on a scale, and then they're creating an actual model of it that we're going to hang up in the hallway.
That's really cool. Sounds like that's a lot of fun, and what a way, I think, to dramatically show, you know, the application of math every day. I mean, things like averages and things, you know, and measurements and things like that are so important, right?
Oh, I love hearing from the students, what the question, when am I ever going to use this? And then we talk about what do we want to do? And we correlate when you're going to use that in your life.
What's funny, because especially if somebody thinks that they don't need math or use math, and then you point out that they're actually a sports fan, and then they probably know their favorite player's average.
Oh, yeah.
The ERA of this pitcher and the slugging percentage.
My boys are really good at that, yes.
Exactly. It's like, now don't tell me you don't do math, right?
Absolutely.
That's fun. And also, does technology play a role in how you teach math these days?
Oh, absolutely. Technology is a huge role. I mean, obviously, we go back to pencil and paper and putting our work on there. But technology, we have so many different enrichment tools we can use with technology. So like if a kid gets done early, I can send him off and we use a lot of happy numbers or even rocket math, and it works on fact fluency, and the kids love it because they're into that gaming systems, and that's part of it. It's correlating their personal life with mathematics, and it gets them a little bit more interested in it.
I actually tried that with one of mine. I let them use the tablet, and they had kind of a math game, and after about 5 minutes, it's like, this isn't a game. You're just trying to make me learn, but that's all right. You know, fun stuff. All right. So Fort Brianna, now you are, fifth grade teacher, came from Osgood originally, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was a winner from Osgood. I graduated from Versailles in 2014.
Okay. So what made you want to get into education?
I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. It was just a very obvious choice. I actually job shadowed kindergarten teachers for 2 days and decided that that was definitely not for me. And so I switched to middle childhood. So, yeah.
And where did you go to school after graduation?
I went to Wright State Lake Campus in Salina.
Okay, so you're able to stay right here.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to, put that out there for people, too. A great education very close to home. And if they want to go away farther, that's okay. But some people don't, right?
Yeah. Yep. I got to student teach around here in the local school districts, which was great.
Oh, wow. So how many different districts did you get to visit?
Four.
That's great.
Yeah,
hands-on, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So for you, for fifth grade, let's talk about your subjects and how that works with you.
I am teaching science and social studies this year, and this is also the lowest grade I have ever taught, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm really liking fifth grade. So for science, it's been really fun this year because we have learned all about space, and the kids are very engaged with space, and they find it very fascinating, and they have millions and millions of questions, which is always good and creates good conversation pieces. But my favorite unit so far this year was the design process, where students were given different objects, and they had to create something. So one of our projects was a skeleton bridge. They had Q-tips, 4 spots of hot glue, 1 foot of tape, and a Dixie cup, and they had to create a bridge that would hold my son's Matchbox car that I brought in.
Okay.
And they got bonus points if it could roll across and not fall apart.
Okay. This sounds like something from MacGyver or something like that.
Yeah. The kids loved that one. So that was my favorite science unit so far.
Hey, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Learning space is also fun because once you really learn some facts, you may still like your favorite space movies, but you also realize how kind of ridiculous they are on some of the things they do.
My kids love the Bill Nye the Science Guy space little clips I've been playing. They freak out over him, and I watch it. I'm like, okay, this is great.
Yeah, good stuff that you learn, right? Get excited about that stuff, right?
They chant Bill, 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 Bill whenever they see on my agenda.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
You also, social studies. And let's kind of remind people more about like what that subject entails.
So for fifth grade social studies, we learn geography. We're currently studying states and capitals, which has been super fun. I can do a lot of fun games with that. They get very engaged with that. And we're currently doing an I Have Who Has contest. And whoever gets the shortest amount of time of getting the 50 states completed, they get a ticket every day. So that's been a lot of fun.
That is pretty neat. And sometimes, you think you know a capital and you don't, because you may inadvertently refer to the biggest, the biggest city in the state, and that's not it, right?
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
All right. It's easy with Ohio, though. I mean, Columbus is pretty big,
Sometimes.
Do you get some wrong answers occasionally?
I think they are almost, they overthink it, and they stop. But it's been fun, and so that's what we're doing now. But we started the year with longitude and latitude and some map skills. North, south, east, and west. Can they find this location on a map using longitude and latitude? Learning how to read circle graphs, kind of some real skill outside of the classroom knowledge that I think they would benefit from down the road.
Yeah, I know sometimes, you know, we Americans have been notorious for having geography, struggles, if you will. So it's good to kind of get that in. It's not like we're necessarily saying you have to travel the world, but you get more of an appreciation for when you may hear the news or something and know what part of the world this is, you know?
Absolutely. And we actually watch a short 10-minute clip of the news every Friday. It's a kids' news channel that I found. So we watch that every Friday, and it talks about different happenings in the world, and they learn about different cultures. So they also really enjoy that, and I like to expose them to that outside of Ohio piece.
Yeah, it's fun also to realize that when you talked about latitude and longitude, that a different country can be so far away, but they're basically at the same place on the map. So the weather might not be that different, you know?
Yes. Yeah. We talked about that in science and social studies. I was able to cross curriculum there.
Yeah. It's really neat. You also find out why there are some parts of the world where not too many, if any, people live, because it's not a nice climate, you know?
We did talk about that. Yeah.
That does sound like a lot of fun, because sometimes people hear social studies and that can mean a lot of things, I think.
I really enjoyed teaching social studies. It is not state tested, so I can take the time to help them learn real life skills. We do a lot of paper pencil work in social studies because I think handwriting is a skill that they need to know. And a lot of them in fifth grade do not have great handwriting.
That's true. Yes.
So I'm able to do some of those skills that I'm hoping they can take with them later.
It's funny to hear that, because I also remember growing up, typing was an elective class, and most of us did not know how to type. Like, you know, why would you need to know that, right? And then after
absolutely.
A while, you realize that became as universal as anything, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's super important to be fluent in it. I mean, the kids even, like, find it fascinating. They're like, you had to take a typing class? And I'm like,
yes.
We didn't have it as much as you guys do now, yeah.
Right.
We had computer labs and no Chromebooks.
We did, too.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and the funny thing is, when I first started, I did a lot of two-finger
pecking.
And then after a while, I just started flying through it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think anything. And my wife was like, where did you learn to type? You know, I'm firing them off as fast as you can. So the more you do anything, right, the better you get, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Still not a fan of thumb typing, though, when you get your little phone or whatever.
Give me
so,
a keyboard.
Yeah. And I'm sure also for all teachers at some point, you get into that conversation of, there's a difference between when you're writing something a little more formal versus talking to your friends. Watch that stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
You got to watch some of those shorthands.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we tell them that all the time. Like, we'll give papers back and be like, okay, is this a full sentence? Like, let's look about what we're talking about, because there are real world things and it's not all just like the texting format.
That's for sure. Also, keeping it fun. It sounds like for both of you, you find a way to do that. Like, it's not all just read the book and do the questions, whether you're making things, right? Like you did.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have 90 minutes of math instruction, which is a lot of time compared to some other schools around us. So we definitely spend like the first half doing whole group instruction. And then a lot of times that last 45 minutes, we break out into projects and we do something that they find interesting, so they don't dread doing math if they're not a math person.
True. And yeah. And also I think same with you, right? When they hear about, like, I'm sure science is an easy sell, right? For one thing.
Yes. Yeah. My kids really like to create things. They've been really hands-on. And if I do have paper and packet, I do oftentimes let them work in groups. They love group work. Being in fifth grade, they love to socialize with their friends. So it's been fun. I don't want to say easy to make science engaging, but I was very lucky to have these topics where the students already want to learn more about it.
Another thing that they did not have when I was growing up was, such instant access. If you wanted to know more, you had to go to the library and maybe find a book. These days, and I guess this is good or bad, you might ask your Echo Dot some questions. You might put something into the chat GPT. And I guess for them, if they want to learn more about your subjects, there's different ways to do that more than ever, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we have some curious kiddos this year. I mean, I will have kids like come up with questions that I'm like, ooh, I'm not even sure how to answer that. Let's look at it together. Let's research it together. And we will sit there and do it during recess or something just to engage their imagination, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sure you probably also tell them, you know, use it responsibly. You know the old saying, if it's on the internet, it must be true, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you still test them, right? Yeah.
Yes, yep, yeah. I like to do my social studies test paper, pencil, and then all my science tests are done online because science is state tested.
Yes, okay. So, very nice. Yeah. So I want to thank both of you. It just sounds like, and I think really the pleasure of the interview is talking to people who enjoy what they do so much.
Oh, yes. So, we love being here.
And, of course, you have kids of your own. How many do you have?
I don't have any, you but she has any? A couple.
You have a couple?
I have two boys. I have a three-year-old and a one-year-old.
Oh, that's a fun age.
Yeah, it's a fun, challenging age. Yes. Yeah, my three-year-old is starting to get sassy and defiant, but for the most part, he's sweet.
Okay, yes, yeah. that's for sure. You know, what's funny, as they get older, you think the age you're in now is challenging, then you look back and go, man, that was easy.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you both for having us. Thank you for having us.
Back to school, continuing here on 96.7 The Wave. I'm Kevin Sandler with a thank you to Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, Reisner Energy, as well as Nature's Green. And now we talk with the book club. We have Anna Bergman and Jill Dews here. And ladies, thank you. Good to have you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We're going to begin, Jill, we'll begin with you, if that's okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah, all right. So I wanted to have you talk to us a bit about your background, where you came from originally, and what led you to education.
Okay, I'm originally from Indiana, Wabash, Indiana. I taught in Richmond, Indiana for 4 years, and then I moved to St. Henry, and I've been teaching at Fort Recovery ever since, so that puts me in about 23 years in education.
Had you heard much about this area when you grew up in Richmond?
I had driven through here a lot as a kid to get to grandparents' houses, and I knew the forts, but that was about it.
Oh, that's all right, though, right? and when you were, you know, when you were teaching, for example, prior to, you know, the work you kind of do with the book club, what were some of the positions in teaching you did before that?
When I was in Indiana, I taught kindergarten. And then when I was hired in here, I taught preschool and then kindergarten. And now I'm in fourth grade.
All right. So you've graduated. You've moved up.
I've moved up.
I would think also teaching, you know, preschoolers and kindergartners would be fun, but it takes a lot of patience, doesn't it?
It definitely does. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's hear about what you're doing now, and in particular with, you know, being a book club advisor.
Okay. So this is my actual first year being a book club advisor. We meet once a month. I have 19 fourth graders that meet after school, and I give them a novel and they read it on their own, and then when we meet, we come back, we do projects, we play games, and we discuss the book, and then we talk about what the book is for next month.
Excellent. Sounds like fun to discuss a book, for one thing. Like you've read the book, you know what you got from it, you know what you thought of it, and then you talk to somebody that read the same book and they have this completely different perspective, right?
Right. It gives it a little bit of a different feel than just being in normal school. They find it a little bit more fun. They're more willing to talk and discuss than they are in normal school hours.
Yeah, probably different when you read something knowing you're going to be discussing it. You probably want to have a command of it more, right?
Right.
All right, fun stuff there. So let's talk with Anna. First of all, share with us, if you would, where you came from originally and what got you into this.
So I grew up in the Vandalia area, and then I started going to school at Wright State Lake Campus, and I kind of just fell in love with the community. And I met my husband, and we now live in Fort Recovery. I have now been teaching for 3 years here at Fort Recovery, or this is my third year here at Fort Recovery. And I just love getting to know the kids and really seeing them learn and grow as human beings.
All right, let's walk through kind of a typical day for you, like what you can expect to happen, you know, when you come to school here.
So I teach third grade, so I'm in charge of teaching all the subjects for those kids. So we have language arts time, and we're reading and comprehending, and then we do some math, and we work on math skills. We write, so we're doing personal narratives, and we'll do informational stories as well. And then we also teach social studies and science. And in third grade, it's really cool because we learn a lot about our local history, and the kids really enjoy it. And we go out and we see the forts, and they just get really intrigued, and they learn so much about their community, and they just start feeling closer to our community.
Yeah, it's not every community that has that in their backyard.
No, no.
You know, that stuff that goes back to the 1700s.
Yes, things that kind of started our country.
Very cool. And also, when you remember the third grade, you know, those years where you had like one teacher all day, right? Before the time comes when you have different teachers for different things. So that part of it does have to be pretty neat, but also versatile on your part that you have so many subjects you do, right?
Yeah. But we love it. It's so fun to watch them and see how kids are better at one subject than another, but they're still willing to work hard and learn and grow, and it's just awesome.
Very true. Yeah, people do sometimes tend to favor, you know, subjects after another. I still would, when I would, you know, they said, "What's your favorite subject?" And I'd say, "Oh, I love English and reading," and they would just look at me like I was thinking, "What, did you just say what I think you said?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, I do." And then others were more math people, but always I think, you know, when it comes to reading, you know, who doesn't love to read? And if they say they don't, sometimes I think you just have to find them the right subject, right?
Oh, for sure. Yep. There's reading in every subject, reading in math, reading in social studies and science, and you just got to find what they're interested in.
All right. So, you know, for you and also, you know, for Jill, like I'm sure at times you kind of work together, bounce ideas off each other, right?
Oh, for sure. We have classrooms right next to each other, so we can get to talk to each other in the morning. And
Annie used to teach fourth grade right across the hall, so
we
got to show her the way her first year.
Okay. Yep. That must have been pretty neat to get to come here, you know, and but I'm sure you also remember that first day, right? Like what that was like, right?
Oh, yes, for sure. And I student taught here, so I did get to know some of the other grade levels first, but It was really nice having Jill right across the hall. I could always ask her a question. She was awesome.
It does seem like anybody that goes into a career for the first time, there's always a mentor or two, right, that will happily take them under their wing and say, I'll show you a few things.
Yes, and I think our school in general, we're just a little family about.
True. And for you, Jill, I also think about the previous experience you've had and how that probably helps you in what you do, especially with the books.
It sure does. I also teach language arts and Ohio history. So I do a lot of reading throughout the day. There's a lot of reading in history and in language arts. So I can, you know, expand on what we've done that day in language arts and bring it into book club.
You mentioned you teach Ohio history, and I'm sure that people would be surprised at some things that they didn't know either happened here or came through here, right?
Correct. And I also, like I said, was from Indiana. I also got to learn right along with the kids, and it's definitely been interesting. I've grown to love the state of Ohio and learning about all the different things that happen here.
Sometimes there's things I didn't learn until I moved here. For example, that the Underground Railroad had such a part in Ohio.
It sure did. Yep, it came pretty much right through here, right on the border of Indiana. So
very neat, and so stuff you don't want people to forget.
Right, correct.
And also teaching any kind of history or some things these days when you get into, you think about the role of technology too, right? And I'm sure you can say a thing or two about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in a generation where there wasn't a lot of technology in school, and watching the differences now is so interesting, and how they can be great tools for the kids to grow and foster that learning.
Yeah, we can remember back a long time ago what a big deal dial-up internet was, right?
She might not be that old.
I don't know. Was that a little before your time?
I was a little before my
time. That old.
I am too. It's okay. Yeah, that's it's funny because you also remember that that seems like dinosaur stuff now, but it also probably humbles us to know like what's coming next, right? The stuff that even we didn't grow up with, right?
Yeah, who knows what will be next?
Yeah, kind of scary to think about sometimes, right? I mean, like we had talked about, you know, before when we mentioned you know, how you can learn things. I know growing up, you know, for example, I didn't have a little round device I could ask it questions and it would tell me. Like, we didn't have that growing up, and now we do. The stuff like that, right?
Yep, for sure. And in book club, it's nice to use our technology as well, because in third grade, it's really about fostering that love of learning. So sometimes there are books that are more challenging for kids, and I always encourage them to go on YouTube and look up and read along with somebody else who's reading that story. And it's just a great way to get them into reading, those kids that don't really love to read yet, but will learn to.
Sure. And when you get that word that stumps you, I mean, you go, wait a minute. And you can quickly ask, what does this word mean? And you just learned a new word today.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of fun with that. Also, I'm sure also, you know, the ability for technology also that you don't have to order as many copies of a book as perhaps you previously would have, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. But we definitely have a good collection here at school, and we We reuse classics and favorites every year.
What are some of the classics you kind of get through?
So our next book that we're reading is Stuart Little. The kids are going to find that out today. And so it's more of a classic novel that we keep on our shelf all the time.
Our first book that we read was called Tiger Rising. It's about a little boy who finds a tiger out in the woods and saves him. And it was a lot of connections they can make to their real lives.
Was the boy's name Calvin? Calvin and Hobbes?
No.
I didn't think so. I just had to throw that in there. That sounds like a lot of fun. And also something you learn, too, when you get assigned a book, maybe your first thought is, oh, I'm not going to like this. And then next thing you know, you can't put it down.
Yep. And that's definitely a discussion our kids have when it comes to time to like reflect on the book we read. They definitely have discussions of, well, I didn't like that book very much, but, you know, I did like this part, but I didn't like that part.
You learn some parts of it. So, all right. Much appreciated. I want to thank the two of you, Anna and Jill, for coming on to talk about the book club. I tell you what, it just sounds, again, like it's an awful lot of fun, and you make some lifelong readers, right?
Correct. That's what we're hoping for.
And back to school at Fort Recovery, courtesy of K&L Tractor, Hall Brothers, Kalp Pharmacy, along with Nature's Green. So we have elementary student council advisors, Sophia Homan and Tammy Winter are here. Tammy, first of all, we'll begin by saying, you know, good afternoon to you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Talk with us, if you would, a bit about your background and what led you into education and what you've done up to this point.
Well, I was born and raised in Fort Recovery. This is my 15th year teaching, 11th year here at Fort Recovery. I've always enjoyed working with children and have always enjoyed seeing those light bulb moments and helping them succeed in life.
All right. And as far as, you know, being a teacher these days, let's talk about your grade, subjects, et cetera.
I teach third grade. We teach all subjects, language arts, science, social studies, and math.
All right. Excellent. That's, again, we've recently had some third grade teacher on. So that's, again, that age where you kind of, you know, they have you all day and you can switch subjects with them. Sounds like that would be fun.
Yes, it is. Every day is a new day. You just don't know what to expect. You can't always prepare for, hey, we're going to do this again in the next hour. So it's something new every day and really enjoy. They still look up to you and still want to give you hugs and, you know, see you as
as a teacher, literally. Yeah. Let's talk about also quickly all the subjects you do go through in a typical day in the third grade, just for people that might have forgotten.
Well, first we start with our reading and the core and language arts, then writing, math, we switch off and on with science and social studies. So we'll do like for a science unit first, then we'll do a social studies unit and switch back and forth. And then we have our tribe time, which is like intervention.
All right. Excellent. And obviously there is a student council as well. And of course, you know, it's important that said council has an advisor or two, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And let's hear about that. What the advisors do.
So as an advisor, we start each year and we're very, very, very close.
That's for sure. And but also it just says, you know, that people are popular, right? And so you got to like that part of it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we can also get into exactly what a student council does. I mean, a lot of things that they plan, events that they put on, et cetera.
Yeah. So this year, like our community outreach project was for Cincinnati Children's Hospital, in honor of a student that we have in elementary that has had a kidney transplant this past spring. So we wanted to raise money to help those children who spend those lengthy times in the hospital there. So in her honor, we actually just had Sense for Cincy last week, and we raised nearly $5,000. So as student council members, Cincinnati Children's has a Amazon wish list. So at our next meeting, they're going to help choose some of those items on their wish list, and then we'll send them to the hospital.
That's for sure. And I'm sure when you talk about like a student or a peer that had something as serious as a kidney transplant, that weighs heavily on students' minds. You probably have a lot of questions among them, especially like how can I help, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially since they're absent frequently. So we just tried to do this in her honor and encourage her.
And what's neat too is perhaps what the kids are learning, you know, that this is a worthwhile project, but it doesn't just happen. We have to do the work. We have to work together, right?
Yes. And especially it's always interesting to hear because like we started the, you know, each year it kind of changes. We, you know, pick on a new community outreach project, and this year we chose Cincinnati Children's, and they were all for it, and they kind of understood even more, like, knowing how closely it affected a classmate of theirs.
Yeah, no question. And I'm sure there's more things that they do, too, right? Certain school events, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, actually, every year, the biggest thing that we put on is our Right to Read Week, and it's normally in the spring. This year, it's in March 2nd through 6th, and so each year we pick an author that we would like to talk about or recognize. And so this year we chose a local author, Kelby Rosengarten from Salina, who published his first book, The Day My Football Cards Came Alive. And so we chose him, and he when we reached out to him, he's actually super excited to come and meet the kids and talk about it, because he started out as a third grader with the dream of this book. And now as an adult, it's coming to life, and he's actually published it. And so the kids have really gotten excited into it. They've already chosen the theme for the week. It's going to be reading as a sport of all seasons. And so they're looking forward to, as the meetings go out throughout the year, coming up with the dress-up days, putting together an email for the teachers, deciding how are we going to run the contest of the who's going to read the most minutes amongst the students. So they just love, like, getting to pick out the little things. You know, we help guide them with, like, okay, this is what we can do, but then they get to make the decisions.
Yeah, and that's important that you're there because they're still young. You don't want mm-hmm. the project to go off the rails. You're there just in case, right?
Yes. Another thing that the student council members have brought to our attention, like recess balls, you know, send their eyes. Those are like the biggest problems that they have. So we actually recently moved to like the recess ball bin outside instead of bringing this crate of balls in and out, and hey, the other hallway has our recess balls. Can we go down there? Then interrupting their hallway, opening the door, that kind of stuff. So, and actually, it seems to be working really well. We don't have to really police or monitor it. The students, you know, get the balls whenever they need them.
How long does recess last these days?
anywhere 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
And each grade kind of has, I know K-3 have three recesses, fourth grade and fifth have two. So.
All right. You know, I think that older ages, and especially into adults, we need to bring back recess.
Yeah.
It's good for us, and it's good to take a little break and work off some steam, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That maybe we'll do that at the station. We're getting him a quick game of dodgeball a couple times a day, right?
Even like the go noodle breaks, you know, they love that. Just something to get them up.
Yes,
moving.
I could do mm-hmm. that. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a feeling this suggestion will not go anywhere, but it's fun to think about. It's fun to think about. What are you doing? I'm on recess. So. And again, those things, again, just sounds like it's a lot of fun. And for the kids, they know they're being listened to.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right.
And we always ask them, like, at the beginning of the year, what do you see working? What do you think needs improved? And then even throughout the year, they always come up with little ideas of things like, oh, could we do this to make this better? Or how can we help? And they've even taken on the responsibility of knowing, okay, we see these balls are flat. They bring them to us, and they're like, can we make sure these get pumped up? And so sometimes, you know, they can go help pump them up, or we have other aides that help pump them up for us.
Right. Or other times you say, what did you do to this ball? It's not it's not going to reinflate. What are you doing, right?
And that's when we tell them, go throw it in the trash can.
Yes. Well, we'll start again. So
yes.
Sounds like, again, you're creating, obviously, some future leaders. They make decisions. And we're talking about, you know, the elementary student council. So as they get older, there's other councils that could be on, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I know the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, they have a student council group of their own, and then I believe the high school does as well.
Excellent. All right. So great, greatly appreciate the two of you stopping by. A lot of fun to learn about, you know, what you're up to as student council advisors, but also, you know, the teaching that you do, right, when you're not advising the student council. And with, you know, with you've got the third graders, so we're on the cusp of Thanksgiving. Do you have something planned for them? A couple things like projects and things, you know?
Yeah, we have our annual turkey races.
These turkey races, they take a bag and they try to stuff newspapers, what they get. Everybody gets the same amount of everything. And it's kind of like a STEM project. They want to see how far they can get the turkey across the room without it falling over.
So okay.
Falls over, then they have to pick it back up and keep going. But they recently, a couple years ago, because this is the 15th year doing these turkey races, and they asked, well, what do we do for Christmas? And we're like, oh, we can have, you know, Santa. So now they learn from it and they adjust things to make their Santa then in December.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of them, you know, they think, oh, the taller is better. But then once you start going, the breeze or the wind of them moving takes it and flops it down. Then they've got to restart. So they learn by time for Christmas. Santa's got to be round, flat, and low to the ground. You know, he needs to be plumping together.
That's right. Learn your aerodynamics and you win, right? Yeah. Thanks again, both of you. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And it is back to school from Fort Recovery. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you to Cooper Farms, Reason Energy, Nature's Green, and Mercer County Electric. Kirsty, we're campus here. She's preschool director here. And I think the first thing, you know, to kind of talk about, you know, Kirsty, as we like to talk about with all of our guests, share with us where you grew up and why you chose education.
Okay. I grew up in St. Henry, so about 10 minutes away from here. And the reason I got into education is because I've always had a passion for children, and I did have a little gap where I did not work education, and it's something I regret because kids are my passion. This is what I love to do.
And let's also talk about what makes Fort Recovery's preschool so unique.
Fort Recovery Preschool is unique because we do have a strong engagement with our community. We focus on the whole child development, and then we also we're committed to making sure that our students have a smooth transition to kindergarten, especially since it's just right down the hall.
All right. And let's talk about the benefits of preschool. A literal head start, I imagine,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Preschool is very important because it is the start of each child's education. It is the beginning of formal schooling for a lot of children. And because it is filled with a lot of excitement and mastering skills that, you know, can help create that foundation for the children academically, socially, and emotionally. Especially, we want to make sure that they are ready in all of those areas before they do go to kindergarten.
All right. And we talk about, like, the way families can get involved too, right?
Yes, exactly. We highly encourage all of our families to get engaged within our preschool program. We thrive off of open communication with our staff and our parents, volunteering within our classroom, and then also attending any kind of school events that we do put on. Parents are encouraged to come into our classroom and read with our students. We also put on different events like donuts and books, field trips, and also our preschool graduation. And then we do parent-teacher conferences as well. So just getting involved that way helps the children, you know, realize that families and school together are creating a bond, which is helping to make them become more successful academically, socially, and emotionally.
And imagine with preschool kids, when you ask them, like, what did you do at school today? You'll actually get an answer, probably, unlike some of the older grades, like, oh, nothing. You
exactly,
know, they'll tell you, right?
Oh, yeah, and sometimes, you know, they tell you more than they should.
that's for sure. But also, you know, what's better than a... you know, with getting to sit down, like, you know, parents with the teacher, where the teacher can certainly give them a moment so they can say, you'll be proud of your little guy or your little girl, because this is where they're really excelling. But also, you know, to talk to the parents and say, but here's where you can help us out a little bit, right?
Yes, exactly.
I also thought about the importance of, the social development. For a lot of them, the other kids that have been in their life might have been that maybe their siblings and maybe a few neighbors. This might be their first experience, and probably is, of a bunch of kids that they don't know that you're with for much of the day.
Yes, exactly. So at the beginning of the school year, a lot of times kids will come in, they're real quiet, they're shy, they're not sure if they want to hang out with the other kids. And then as the year goes by, they become best friends, and then, they do realize that we are a family. So within our preschool, we make sure that the children know that, they have their family at home, yes, but then they also have their school family. So yeah. We try to make that connection. We have school and we have family. And to here in 4-H Recovery Preschool, we are a school family.
Also, do you have any upcoming events that you'd like to talk about?
We currently do not have any big events planned. I mean, we do have field trips that we go on throughout the community, that usually we will go to like Fort Fitness, we'll go to the bank, we'll go up to the grocery store. So we'll just do, usually we try to do a field trip a month within the community. But then we will have our open enrollment coming up here in March. So there's a lot of parents that are reaching out kind of like, hey, what do I need to do, to get my kid enrolled for next year already? And I'm like, okay, that's great. You're being proactive. But it is March 9th, and parents are able to do that on our local 4-H Recovery Schools website.
All right. Obviously, if they have any questions, I think they should always go to the website, right? A lot of them will be there, or they can always call.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And also community partnerships. You mentioned like obviously the work you do with parents, but on the other hand, within the community, right?
Yeah. So one thing that we really highly encourage our parents to do is to get involved with the community, just as we will when we take our field trips. So like say the library, we really encourage our parents to go to the library, get your child involved in the different kind of sporting events. Just so that way they are out in public, and then they'll see us as well and realize that, hey, our teacher does come out into the community, and it makes them feel more welcome just seeing us out in the community. That way when they come back to school, our relationship does grow.
Also, Ohio has a quality rating system, for childcare and earlier learning programs, and so you got a gold rating.
We do, yes. So Step Up to Quality is something that the state will come around and they rate preschools, and our preschool has been rated the highest rating, and that is because we are committed to our high quality standards. We have ongoing staff training, and we continue with our strong community partnerships as well as our curriculum development.
Excellent. And how important that is, because we get into like some of the things that you're teaching them. I'm sure a lot of people don't remember when they went to preschool. That's really early. But yeah. Some of the things you teach them, it's not all just like a romper room and let's play, right?
No, exactly not. Yeah. So a lot of times when you do ask people like, do you remember preschool? Because I know even my own kids are like, oh, we remember when Mrs. Diller did this or that. And it's like, okay, they do remember some things, but it has to be something exciting. So something I have right now is in our dramatic play area, we have Down on the Farm, a theme. And because we have a lot of farmers that are in our classroom right now, and so they're highly engaged in that dramatic play. So what I like to do is I like to sneak in some letters or shapes within that dramatic play, and they're actually learning, and they don't know that they're learning because it's not the traditional sit down and let's, draw a square or a circle. So that's very how important. We sneak in our education.
There you have it. What's also interesting is people would hear that and say, draw a square, draw a circle. Are you serious? Well, of course. I mean, these are little ones. Right? You got to learn everything at least once. Everything you had to learn at some point, right?
Exactly. And our preschoolers, they learn the best by doing hands-on activities.
Yeah. And so it's kind of neat where you learn like those really early things, right? Shapes and maybe a few words and things, right?
Yes.
But also, as I said, the social skills where you learn that, that there are others in the class. You got to get along, and you got to learn now. Oh, this is a bad word I know for little kids, but to share, right? Yeah. Kids don't like that word, but hey, you've got to learn to share.
Yeah, and social emotional skills is something that we work on a lot in preschool.
a lot.
And probably takes a lot of patience.
Oh, it sure does.
And even a few times where you have to use perhaps a little psychology, you know, I don't want to make you sit away from everybody. But
how can I make this sound good?
Yeah, like what can I do here that you understand that, you know, the behavior is up to you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do this, if you're going to share, you know, and then you learn. And of course, in time, they will, yes. Right? Yeah, and that's pretty neat. You know, for working with the preschool, how many years have you done that now?
This will be my second year here at 4-H Cover Preschool.
Pretty neat.
So, yeah.
All right. And, you know, we also think about, like, what's coming, you know, in the future. Obviously, we know for a lot of us, when we grew up, kindergarten was half a day, mm-hmm. you know, before it became all day. So you kind of wonder about the development of a preschool, right? What's next?
Yes, exactly. And that's why it's kind of like, you know, now that we have our kindergarten is a full day. Allowing your child to come to preschool is very beneficial for them, especially before they go to kindergarten. And here at 4-H Recovery Preschool, we're right here with those kindergarten teachers. We're right down the hall.
They're going to know them, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really good when we can bounce off ideas off each other. And then also these preschoolers are able to see their kindergarten teachers, you know, so they're like, oh, they're not strangers.
That's a good point. Now, again, I think if I recall correctly, kindergartners, was that about like what, age 6 roughly, I think, is when we started. So when you got preschoolers, what age are you working, like 4 or 5?
Ours is 4 or 5, yeah.
4 or 5, yep. Okay. So we remember probably our own kids at that age. Hard to remember stuff for us when we were that age, although we might remember a few things here or there. But but yeah, that, you know, that there's kind of that mix of excitement and also a little anxiety. Like, where am I going? What is this? Right?
Right. Yeah. And that's something that we like to make sure that our children do feel welcomed when they walk into the classroom. We wanted to make them feel like home.
Yeah.
So we make sure they feel welcome. They feel,
you know, in a smaller community too, where you never know, you got a couple kids together in preschool and you don't know this, but you might see the start of like a lifelong friendship, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yep. And how neat that is.
Exactly. And maybe one day in 10, 12 years, we'll see them still being friends.
So. Yeah. That's very, very true. So, and also I'm sure you'll have more than a few future teachers in that class, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
but right now, they all want to be teachers.
Of course they do.
Teachers or farmers. That's what we got.
I can remember, you know, certain kids I knew who would come home and want to go over the lesson with us. Like, I'm going to show you what I learned. And we would pretend that we didn't know that.
Exactly.
And,
exactly. Know. Yep.
And also, I think the magic for parents when they start to see their kids read mm-hmm. to them. You know, you read a book and then they take the book from you and they start trying to read it too,
know. Oh, yeah. And then you're like, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat for them to get to do that. So, Christy, I want to thank you very much for coming. I want to thank everybody today.
Yes, I appreciate it.